Cincinnati Edition. I'm Marianne Zalesnik, filling in for Mark Haney, who's out today. Luminosity happens for the third time starting next week at Washington Park. The music, dance, and light show has become one of the more popular Cincinnati outdoor events. The concert festival experience presented by the Cincinnati Symphony Orchestra will include performances by the Cincinnati Pops, Cincinnati Ballet, Cincinnati Opera, and May Festival on the first half of the program. In the second half, the Cincinnati Symphony performs to live 3D projection mapping designed once again by creative partners Brave Berlin on the facade of the historic music hall. Here to tell us what happens to get ready for the big event are Cincinnati Symphony and Pops Orchestra Vice President of Communications, Chris Pinello, and Brave Berlin's Steve McGowan and Dan Reynolds. You can join the conversation by calling 513-419-7100 or sending us a question or comment on Facebook or Twitter or emailing talk@wvxu.org. Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Good afternoon.
Hi there. Good afternoon.
Glad to have you all here. Chris, I want to start with you. When this all started, did you ever anticipate it would get this big and 3 years later you'd be having extra nights and having to sell the tickets?
Absolutely not. The first time we did this, it was when Washington Park first opened, before Luminosity, we did an outdoor concert to open the park. We had about 6,000 people show up. We thought that was fantastic. And when we were doing the projection mapping the second year Washington Park was open to welcome Louis Langres, we never anticipated 15,000 coming the first night, and we certainly didn't anticipate, maybe we should have, 20,000 people coming the second night. So Luminosity certainly became something larger than I think we ever expected it would.
And as you folks were designing for it and getting everything ready, did you think, were you designing it in terms of thinking of that big of a crowd?
Oh, no way. No. I mean, I don't think so. It's funny because for us, we have been doing this type of media design work for a while. And so to us, it wasn't new. And we kind of thought, you know, it's been big in Europe for years. It's, you know, the other parts of the world kind of really know. I was really taken back at how it was received here in Cincinnati, how novel it was. And again, I think that's also because it had never been combined quite the same way with a live performance, certainly not with a symphony orchestra of our caliber. So it kind of, it was this magic sauce, the combination of the two, I think was just something that nobody had ever seen.
The other part of it was, differently, the way that we would have welcomed Louis to Cincinnati would have been in a, you know, probably a black tie affair and a, you know, free concert inside. But the concept was, let's bring it out into the community. The flip was that it wasn't about the CSO saying, here is Louis Langres. It was about Cincinnati saying, welcome to our city. And that, I think, is how people found their way into Luminosity and continue to sort of own it and feel it. And I think that's why it's become such a proud, you know, proud moment for Cincinnati.
I think everybody's at least heard of it if they haven't been there. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about the whole idea of how you get ready for it and maybe how you have to, you know, you wowed them the first year. Oh, my gosh, it triple wowed them the second year. What do you do the third year to make it different, to make people want to see it again?
Well, we start with the music. And we did that a little differently this year. We actually had meetings earlier on, and Dan and Steve were actually involved with the conversations around selecting the music. So in the past, we had, Louis had come up with a program for the second half of Luminosity and presented that. And then we, you know, Dan and Steve did their magic and dreamt up the visuals. This year, they were involved earlier on those conversations. I think that was a really interesting process.
Yeah. The collaboration this year has been much tighter with the actual CSO. We've been working with them. As Chris mentioned, we started earlier. We had more meetings. And we also involve them in thinking of the visuals in a way. So, you know, traditionally, you know, they're music people and they're audio and we're visual people. This year, I think going into our third year, everyone understood the medium a little bit more. And there was a whole lot more crisscross and this kind of wonderful synergy that happened between their creative process and our creative process.
Well, how does that all work? You sit down and say, hey, that's a good piece of music. Oh, I've got an image. I mean, how do you go about that?
What you want to get to is you want to get to what the imagery that's evoked in people's minds, in the mind's eye, when you listen to this music. And that's always been our creative process, which is you listen to the music, close your eyes, what do you see? And how does it make you feel? And that's where you begin. It's what are those first images that you see? What are the emotions that this piece of music evokes in you? What memories does it bring to mind? And then you kind of start with that and go from there.
Well, that brings up a really interesting question. And maybe you all three can answer that. When you close your eyes and listen to music, is that what we saw in the first 2 years of Luminosity? What you guys see when your eyes were closed?
It is now. Yeah.
It's an interesting process because you really have to listen to the music. What we've discovered over time is that people who aren't familiar with symphonic music is that sometimes by adding visuals to it, they listen to the music differently, and vice versa. People who are very, very much about listening to the symphony or going to the symphony have a whole new appreciation for what this art form can bring to the overarching experience. So that was kind of a fun, you know, dynamic that we could play with. The visuals, though, start very simply. We include the whole team, and we actually do some sort of an image sort where people will pull images about what they're thinking. A picture paints 1,000 words. So, but we'll also be sketching, and we kind of capture everyone's ideas. But as it all starts to unfold, we start to see a show kind of forming. And it's very important to have a bit of an arc, you know, like a story within the story. And that's very much what we created. We start with a big key marquee, you know, opening, a grand opening. We kind of build. This year it's a little dark, and it builds and it builds. There's a palate cleanser, as we call it. And then there's a big finish. And what that does is that, and there's also a few surprises, you know, for the audience to kind of, you know, experience the idea of all being in a shared moment. And that's when it gets really fun.
And some of the pieces we presented over this year and the previous 2 years are iconic pieces of music. So there are already going to be some people predisposed to have a certain visual in their minds. The very first piece anyone ever heard at Luminosity was Alter Sprach Zarathustra by Strauss. It is the opening of 2001 A Space Odyssey. And a lot of people will see those images. Maybe they see something differently now that Dan Steve interpreted that and what happened on the facade of Music Hall. We're starting this year with Carmina Burana's, Carl Orff's Carmina Burana, the O Fortuna, which opens and closes that piece. It is iconic. People think about knights attacking people, and it's been used in lots of movies and television commercials. But no one will ever have experienced Carmina Burana the way they're going to experience it at Luminosity with that performance, with this particular performance, and the visuals that these guys have put together.
Now, I'm guessing here, but the audience that you get for Luminosity is slightly different than the audience you get inside Music Hall for the symphony. Is that true? You're seeing a broader variety of people, perhaps?
That's fair to say. I mean, we'll be drawing 30,000 people to Washington Park this year. Last year, 15,000 people from 7 countries watched it online. We had another 130,000 people watch it on TV.
So as you're doing that, do you think that you're trying to present the symphony to a broader audience in a broader way than you would inside Music Hall?
It is a different experience than what you're going to a different experience than what you'd have in Music Hall, but it's also introducing this incredibly complex, beautiful, moving music that a lot of people might be somewhat familiar with, but for the broader audience, a chance to hear all this orchestral color and this beautiful setting, this beautiful shared experience, I think is something unique. I sort of see Luminosity as an opportunity for A, if you love music, you're going to love Luminosity. But B, if you're not familiar with orchestral music, it's a great way to first experience Luminosity. In fact, this year we're releasing a CD at Luminosity called The Music of Luminosity. It's from the first Luminosity. It's live recordings over the last few years of the orchestra. And we're hoping that people were so moved by that and want to engage in the music in a deeper way. And it'll be available on a flash drive and a CD. It's not with the visuals. There's pictures on the flash drive if you get it. But the idea is that you're going to sort of be able to immerse yourself in that incredible music.
Our number is 513-419-7100 if you have a question or a comment. Susie's on the phone from Anderson. Hi, Susie. What's your question?
This will be my first time to go. And one of the things that's kept me back in the past was just the crowds. And this time I'm going to the dress rehearsal and bringing my 81-year-old mom, who's in pretty good shape. But anyway, where do we park for something like this, and how early should we get there?
Well, so you're coming to the dress rehearsal. The site will open at 4 o'clock. So just for everyone listening, if you're coming to one of the weekdays, it opens at 4 o'clock. If you're coming on the weekend, it opens at 3 o'clock. There is ample parking in and around Music Hall in Washington Park. There are lots and garages all within a few blocks, but I would plan on getting there early. The reason – it'll be less crowded than it has been in previous years given the restrictions we put on, the number of people who can be in Washington Park at one time. But getting a good spot. People love getting there early, getting their stuff set up. There's the Luminosity Village will be open, so there'll be a plethora of things to do. Artisans, crafts, great food and drink. There's activities for kids. There's performances happening on the bandstand in Washington Park. It really has a festival-like atmosphere. So I would encourage you to get there early. That'll make parking easier, and you'll be able to get your spot set up.
Thanks for your call, Susie. I wanted to ask along with that, do you bring a blanket? Do you bring a chair? I mean, what do you do?
No blankets this year. So what we found out is, it's very colonial. So people would claim a great amount of territory, in Washington Park. And we really want to squeeze in as many people as comfortably as possible. So we're asking everyone to bring a standard, not a big captain's chair or a lounge chair, but a regular, lawn chair, folding lawn chair. And
the
that
soccer
way,
mom chairs, those
yes,
work, those kinds.
Yes.
Okay.
So no coolers this year, no blankets, no tarps.
All right. Let's talk a little bit more about putting it all together and sort of the creative end of all of this. It just seems like everything has to be timed to such precision. How difficult is it to make sure everything happens exactly when it's supposed to?
Piece of cake.
You know, it's funny because so by now we have a process down and we're pretty confident in it and it feels really good. But for months and months and months, we are animating to recordings. So we don't have the actual live performance till here, and it's always different, right? It's on the night. We actually never get to hear anything. Usually we'll probably hear it Wednesday afternoon at rehearsal. Steve and I will pop in and it'll be the first time that we've heard our CSO performing that piece as they will that night. And it's always a little bit different. But then again, you know, and that little bit of that is scary, but it's also that moment of magic. You know, it's the live performance. It's the audience. It's that's the third element of this. You have the CSO, you have the visuals, but the liveness of it is the third element that takes it to another level.
That's what makes it unique, is that most projection map, installations are to a click track or to a pop
What's
song.
A click track? What do you mean?
A pre-recorded piece of music.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so this is live music. So actually I teased Dan because Dan is like, he's first chair of, you know, animations that night. And it's this relationship that he has with the conductor, how well Louis is, how he's playing, not how well he's playing, but how fast or slow that he's playing. That's why we can hit sort of cymbal crashes and timpani drums, and it adds that whole new complexity to it. So it's very much it's all live.
So you're really just doing it as you go.
Yeah. No, the way we develop the animations, and of course, when you're developing animation for a 14-minute Brahms piece, obviously you have to build in, strategies to keep that in sync with how Louis's playing it. So we do that now. And like I said, we're using the same process we've done the previous 2 years. Actually, last year we vastly improved that process. And then, so this year we're using the same process. And it's a matter of cutting up those animations into many, many, many smaller ones. And then also I literally sit next to a guest conductor who has the score in front of him. And he's constantly whispering in my ear, going a little slower, going a little faster. And he's calling out the visual cues that we've worked out ahead of time.
So he's
keep
seen the work that you're putting up there.
Yeah, actually, this year it's a new one. I'm getting a new conductor this year. We've not worked together. We've talked on the phone. I've sent him some reference videos. He's in California right now. I won't meet him until Wednesday.
Wednesday,
the day of the performance.
Not in 2 days.
Yeah,
next
no,
week.
But
oh
I feel very confident. These guys are all top notch, and the CSO goes to great lengths to hook us up with the right people to help guide this thing. And he's super excited. I mean, he's a conductor in his own right, but he's giddy that he gets to work on Luminosity and he gets to call out the visual cues for all the animations and I kept explaining. He's like, no, I got it. He was really excited.
And so every night of Luminosity is different.
Yeah.
Because Louis never does anything exactly the same way. So it really keeps Dan on his toes.
Yeah, Louis talked to us quite a bit. When we had him in the studio a few weeks ago filming, he was talking about the idea when you perform out in open air in a park, outdoor setting, and how different that is. And you need to – he needs to – conduct them in a way that opens up the music and that lets it breathe a little different. And sometimes that means a little slower. So he'll kind of nudge us and nod us and say, mind if this one goes just a little bit slower? And I'm like, a little bit, Louis, a little, not too much. But it's fun that way.
It's critical getting inside Louis' head to in the way that he plays the music, but also his vast knowledge of the actual piece of music. And that informs the visuals as well. It's sort of when we hit high notes, when we sort of hit a crescendo or take something a little bit lower. And you'll see it's very complicated. This year was very complex too. The music was difficult. There's a couple of pieces that are tough. They're really, really tough. They're going to be beautiful. They'll show up great. The visuals are fantastic, but it really pushed the boundaries, I think, to the visuals, creating more of a narrative in one case. And then trying to stay fresh and new, you know, something new and different. And we've always treated it as an art form. You know, we haven't just thrown images up there as a canvas. Everything works and matches perfectly with the music. So that's been great. Luminosity, too, was always designed as a way that we wanted people to feel. You know, it wasn't designed as a thing. And this year's tagline, Masters and Dreamers, is going to deliver on every bit of what we feel Cincinnati is about. You know, the masters of architecture, Louis Longre being the maestro, the master of the orchestra, but also chefs and city planners and then the dreamer side, you know, people that are building and, you know, just coming up with new great ideas, the creativity that's bubbling up in the Renaissance that Cincinnati is feeling. That's really what is defining Luminosity and why we named it Masters and Dreamers this year.
So every year has had a theme like that? Is that correct?
Yeah. So last year we called it a city inspired. So it was, you know, and it was playing up one on the surprise success of the first year. Here we are now, a city inspired, going through this Renaissance that Steve was mentioning, and the city is a city inspired. This idea of masters and dreamers has actually been an idea that we've had since the very first year, and it was a potential contender as a name of the event one time, and it lost out to Luminosity. But it was always in the back of our minds, this idea of masters and dreamers. And then once we got working with the CSO and we kind of started thinking about the overall themes for the piece and the idea of marrying it to what they do, which is this master of their craft, this idea of master, we immediately got that out of the box and dusted it off and said, I think masters and dreamers time has come for this year.
So you said there'll be some surprises, some new things this year. Chris, on your end, anything particularly new just with the setup or any of that before we get into the creative end of
things? Well, there's one little bit of a challenge. We want to have chorus on the second half of Luminosity, which we've never done. So where, for Carmina Burana, No Fortuna, where do you put a chorus? And so I think we've come up with some creative ways to integrate the chorus into that live setting. It's always a challenge with a space that large and setting up the sound system so we can reach as many people throughout the park as possible. But finding ways to also bring the musicians out into the animation, I think there'll be a lot of really neat surprises there. I don't want to give away too many surprises for the performance. I think that – but every Luminosity is unique. The first year blew our minds. The second year blew our minds even more. And I think this year is going to be the best we've done so far.
It's been a very wet summer. So what happens if it rains? Does it go on, or do people, you know, will it be even more brilliant watching it through the glistening raindrops?
You know what? It does go on, and it'll be even more brilliant, just as you described.
Do you plan for that? Do you do anything special?
It's never scared us. It's never been an issue. We don't. We're a little bit suspicious. We don't say the R word.
I didn't say that.
But other than that, the show goes on, and quite frankly, I've thought of it many times. What would it be like? And I think it would just be magic all the more.
Yeah, you know, even a thunderstorm, I think, would liven it up.
The unique thing about that crowd both years has been they want to be there, and they're not moving for anything. That moment when the music starts and everybody's – I mean, you know, it's been told to us many times, you can hear a pin drop in the midst of this crowd, and nobody's worried about where they're sitting. They're not worried about mud. They're not worried about getting out of line. They just freeze, and they just stay in the moment. And I have no doubt that that would be the case again this year.
Last year, strangely enough, there was a supercell sort of coming towards Washington Park. This is a true story. And it literally split, and went the storm split and went around Washington Park. And I'm not kidding.
That is a true story.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. It's the power of music.
Superpowers. Or the lasers. They just...
yeah.
If assuming that it doesn't rain and everything goes as expected, it is sold out at this point?
It is sold out at this point. But there are ways to experience luminosity. There is fencing up around Washington Park, but it doesn't have anything on it. If you're in and around Washington Park, you can still be able to see luminosity. There are many people with vantage points in and around the city who can also see Music Hall. And 90.9 WGUC will be airing it live on Friday night for people who can listen on the radio to the music and see it from afar. Television broadcast happening on Saturday, and then on Friday and Saturday, webcasts goes to the world. Luminosity2015.com will have Luminosity live from a couple of vantage points, actually, and that'll also include the Pole Pop's first half as well.
Now, you talked about how these kinds of shows are done in Europe. Has there ever been anything like this in the United States? And do you ever want to take Luminosity on the road? Or is Music Hall the most critical part of it?
It won't be Luminosity. I mean, I can tell you that. I mean, we've certainly, our phones rang a few times since the success of this event, and people say, come do that in our town. And we're certainly happy to talk to those people and bring our craft to bear on any way we can, but it's not Luminosity. Nothing will ever be Luminosity, but Luminosity. That it's the special combination of the CSO performance with the visuals that makes Luminosity what it is. You know, there's projection art forms and media art forms of all kinds, but they're different when you take that element and you take them apart. You know, certainly worth doing, and we're thinking big for the city, and we're thinking big about what we can do, and we're thinking big about our future with the CSO too, and hoping that we can find ways to keep surprising and delighting.
Music Hall itself, though, as being this grand, you know, gesture of architecture in Washington Park, that's what's so special, but it's very challenging building. And so why, when you look back at the photography and how brilliant all the colors are, it's because we've had to sort of amp those up. It's not the most ideal building to do a mapping project on.
Red bricks.
Red bricks, yeah. But it sucks up light. And white light becomes your enemy. But we end up doing it in such a way that it works and it's unique.
I can't wait to see it. Thank you both, or all three of you. You two for getting it ready. You with the symphony, Chris. I really appreciate it.
It's our
pleasure. Thanks for having
us.
Thank
you.
We've been talking about this year's Luminosity. My guests have been Cincinnati Symphony and Pops Orchestra Vice President of Communications, Chris Pinello, and Brave Berlin's Steve McGowan and Dan Reynolds.